Zuhören. Der Podcast der jungen Wirtschaft Vorarlberg.
Hello and welcome to the new episode of Listening. Today we are again in Dubai, an emirate in the United Arab Emirates. I, René Jauch, would like to welcome our interview partner today. I'm talking today with Nizar Fakhi. Nizar is the co-founder of STEP in UAE, one of the largest startup communities. What this is and what Nizar is doing there, you will find out from him in a moment. Nizar, tell us briefly from your side who you are, what you do exactly, and what the STEP does.
Morning, René. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. My background is a bit of a mixed background. I think it's interesting to share that since we're talking to people, in Austria and Europe. So I actually grew up in Europe. As I was telling you earlier, I used to speak fluent German until I was 7 and I forgot it all. But I think this is something that defines me, that I've been around. I've lived in Switzerland, Italy, in Spain, in the region here. I'm originally from Lebanon, from Beirut, and I've been in the UAE for about 9 years. And so I think that, mixed background that I've been through is something that really has defined who I am on a personal level. When it comes to STEP, this is something that since I've come to the UAE, I started with my co-founder, Ray. It's something that we started when we really felt that the ecosystem here was still, I don't want to say non-existent, but very much at its early stages. We were very passionate about tech in general, about startups. We followed everything that's happening around the world, especially when it comes to startups growing and digital transformation happening in the world. And we felt that there wasn't enough focus around it here, as I'm talking back in like 2012, 2013. And as a result, we started STEP, which started as a small event that just was, to bring a few people together that were passionate around tech and startups. And slowly this event started growing. We found a lot more people interested in this space that maybe didn't have a platform to share their passion and to find out more. And it really started growing organically until the 2020 event before the pandemic, which we were lucky to do really, just 2 to 3 weeks before the world went crazy, we had more than 7,000 people. And so this is an event that started with like 150 people. And now today, we're known one of the largest and I would say coolest tech event in the region. We've also launched in Riyadh before the pandemic, and we hope to come back to Riyadh as well in fall of 2022. So this is briefly what STEP is from an event perspective. We also are, as you mentioned, a startup community and a startup platform that supports entrepreneurs in every way possible. We also work with governments, corporates that are interested to work with startups or to learn more about the startup ecosystem through different projects and programs that we help them with.
So you said you have grown up in Europe. What connection do you have with Austria? You have been there for a couple of weeks. And what you associate with Austria in terms of entrepreneurship?
I wouldn't say I have a very strong connection with Austria. Like I said, more, with Switzerland and the German language, and then I suppose I still have some family in Switzerland. I suppose Austria, being part of the sort of German-speaking countries in Europe, has always been also part of that, and I understand a bit of the culture. I really liked Austria when I went. I was very pissed that I couldn't do the river boat thing. I wanted to go through to Bratislava but it rained that day, so I think I'm still angry about that. I think in terms of the connection that I have to Europe in general, because I grew up there, and so I understand the culture well. I have a lot of family still in Italy and Switzerland, and I go back there regularly. And so that's, you know, that's something that is also part of my identity.
So then let's dive into the business and ask you some questions about the startup environment in UAE. First of all, what makes the UAE stand out as a startup hub? Is it worth to found a startup in UAE? And in which emirate it's the most interesting?
That's a tricky question, which emirate is most interesting. I think that depends on what you're doing, but we'll go back to that. What's made the UAE a very interesting startup hub are a few different factors that have helped for the startup ecosystem to grow exponentially in the last 10 years. I'll give you an example. When we started STEP, maybe the second edition, we wanted to introduce the idea of startups signing up and getting a booth so that they can showcase their product. We planned for like 8 slots of startups. We couldn't find 8. We only found like 6. We had to bring a couple of our, you know, friends that have some company to put their logo so it looked like we filled our, you know, our 8 spots. We couldn't leave them empty. In 2020, we had 250 startups showcasing out of 800 applications. So you can imagine from, you know, 6 to 800 applicants within 8 years. This gives a bit of an idea of how quickly it grew. The reason, I think, primarily there has been a lot of focus from the government to grow this ecosystem, and this is something that has affected greatly. The second part is, I think, the UAE, Dubai in particular, has been a hub for people from the region of a certain mentality to move and live here, whether it's from Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, and different countries around the region, to move to the UAE and live here. And I think that has given, you know, the human capital for the startup ecosystem to grow as well. And then thirdly, it's the you know, the infrastructure that exists and gives access to the rest of the markets in the region. And so out of that, I think these 3 factors, the you know, the government support and the huge investment done by government entities, the human capital and the tech infrastructure that exists have really created that unique feature to Dubai as a city and the UAE in general as a country to be a startup hub. And we can talk more about that later in detail.
So now you also mentioned the UAE. For most of the people in our area, UAE is Dubai and maybe Abu Dhabi, nothing else. So how is it in advantages of setting up a company, maybe let's say in Sharjah or one of the other emirates, why that is not so popular?
Well, I definitely say the UAE is not only Dubai. I know through my travels and a lot of friends that I have globally that sometimes this is, you know, maybe Dubai is the loudest, let's put it that way. But I think there's a lot of other interesting things happening as well. I'm based in Dubai, but I do work with, you know, companies and government entities in other emirates as well. Sharjah, I believe, is very interesting, but also it depends what you do. So there's Shira', who are the sort of startup entrepreneurship community in Sharjah. They're doing a great job. So I think if you're interested in Sharjah, Shira', which is Shera, maybe you can share that for people who are interested, are doing a really good job with early stage startups. What they have different, I think, is that they're closely associated with Sharjah University, which is something that usually in what we've seen in global startup ecosystems, like think Silicon Valley, you know, Stanford, MIT, that's something that can help a lot from an innovation perspective, working with students, professors. And the other thing is that they're really building a very well-structured accelerator program, and we've seen a lot of people go through it. The other part that Sharjah is very interesting in is when it comes to the arts and culture and literature sector. This is something that maybe Dubai has less focus on, but Sharjah is much more interesting when it comes to that space. They're more focused on arts and culture. They're more focused on, they have the book fair, which is one of the largest in the region in Sharjah. And so I think that space as well is very interesting in Sharjah. But like Dubai, like the rest of the Emirates, I think all of them. Today, it's become Ras Al Khaimah now has a new entity to set up your startup very easily. It's become extremely easy to set up a company, and do find out what regulations you have to abide by. Everything is digitized. It's very easy to do. It takes a few days sometimes to do it. And so, from a ease of business perspective, the UAE has really done huge leaps in the past few years.
Thank you for that information. So the technical opening up from a company, the Austrian Business Council can help. But if one of our members want to open up a startup in UAE, so what are the popular industries here or in the MENA region where the investors are interested?
Okay, so this is, I think, an interesting thing to know about the ecosystem here. Until a few years ago, what we saw is a lot of what we call copycat economy when it comes to startups. So if we look at the big success stories in the region in the startup ecosystem, it's been Kareem, which is a copycat of Uber. It's been Souq.com, which is a copycat of Amazon, right? And in fact, they were sold to Uber and to Amazon. So, that's clearly, these are our biggest sort of like, the pride of, we have Anghami, who is basically a copycat of Spotify. But a lot of these have done a great job localizing their products, but the model is essentially the same. This has continued, and I think continues to this day. It's changing a bit from strictly copycat, but still to ideas that have shown some global, some validation globally. And the reason is it's always a chicken and the egg, but ultimately it's a lot because investors still like to de-risk their investment because they feel safer when they see that the model has worked outside and we're going to bring it here and, do the same but localize it. And that feels like, okay, I know this model works somewhere else, so it might work here, it might not work here, but then you're restricting the risk. To see completely innovative ideas that are coming out of the region, to see things that maybe you've never seen anywhere before that is born in the region, this is still very rare. Let's be, realistic about what the ecosystem is right here. The other part is about which industries work. I think we need to look at which state is the market today. And I think we mentioned this before in our chat before starting, that the biggest markets here are the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Egypt comes in third place. But if we look at UAE and Saudi Arabia specifically, who are the fastest growing, there still is a lot of digitization or digital transformation happening. And so as a result, where you will see the biggest growth sectors are in digital companies. What I mean by that, it's e-commerce, right? So there's still a lot of e-commerce adoption that has space. So you see a lot of e-commerce. We see a lot of fintech, for example, because the fintech infrastructure did not exist before. And so you'll see, for example, in Saudi in the past 4 to 5 years, we've seen huge growth in payment, digital payments. That's been, where a lot of money has gone. Now we have the, buy now, pay later companies that are growing. So these are all concepts that maybe are normal to be the ones that investors are interested in because they're obvious and they are needed for the infrastructure. And so we see those growing. Other sectors, I think, outside the digital realm are places where now the government is trying to focus on. If we think of health tech, we think of agri-tech, maybe different sectors that are a bit more, you know, more, even deep tech, anything that is more on the innovation side, that requires more hardware, that requires really, you know, moving away from just a digital platform, are still very difficult. And I think they will get there, but it will take time. And investors today are still not ready to bet on things that they deem to be so risky. But if I may add something about the investment part, this is something that has changed incredibly, and we've seen it in the past 2 to 3 years. Because if you go back 2-3 years ago, before the pandemic, the risk money was still very difficult to find in the region. We have a lot of money present, people that are willing to invest, that want to invest. But the idea of investing in startups, relatively speaking, although it has improved tremendously, was still not for everybody, right? So if you're a businessman with a lot of money and you want to diversify your investment, you might think of, you know, investing in real estate. You might think of investing in a traditional business. The idea of putting your money as an angel investor, as an example, is not something that was very common here. Now we're seeing this much more, and I think that helps a lot, because a lot of startups need those angel, you know, money or seed money to really start before they can even go to the bigger VCs. But also on a larger scale, we're seeing a lot of corporate money, we're seeing a lot of even government money, family offices moving into venture capital. And this is something that has really been accelerated in the pandemic. And I expect that, I think I read, don't hold me to it, but I read, I think, that 2021, we had around $3 billion in investment in startups in the Middle East, which is a huge number for, you know, a region that just a few years ago maybe was a third of that or less. And so that's very promising, and I think it's going to keep on growing.
So, yeah, you are very deep into or inside this environment that I can see. So let's get a little bit closer to you as a person. You said local startup community. When someone can get in contact with you, Nizar, or Step, and how you can support entrepreneurs which are interested in starting a business in UAE, who are basically coming from Austria or Switzerland or Germany?
So I think the region is extremely interesting. I would, you know, invite everybody who is interested or curious to try and learn more about what's happening here. But it's very important to understand why you would want to open here, and if it is indeed the thing that works for your company or for your aspirations. And you know, in terms of finding out more, what I would suggest, I mean, the best way I would tell them, you know, just come to the STEP conference, our event. So actually February 23-24, hoping that, you know, Omicron allows us not to have to postpone it, but inshallah, as we say here, February 23-24, we'll have the comeback of the physical event, STEP Conference, which unfortunately we couldn't do in 2021. This is really a place where the entire startup ecosystem meets for 2 days. We have, you know, everyone in the ecosystem, from the investors, VCs, angels, corporates, to all the digital companies, to the regional head offices of all the big tech companies here in the UAE, to the entrepreneurs and the entire community. And so I think one way, if you're interested, is, you know, come to STEP in February, whether it's this year, next year, and try to learn a bit how it works here. You know, what is it that might work for you? How does the networking happen? How do investors think? What kind of challenges do entrepreneurs have? And obviously, I'm happy for anybody to reach out if they need some advice and support. But really, the best way is, you know, come to STEP, check it out, you'll kind of get like a crash course of the ecosystem in 2 days. And I think that's the best way to really find out more.
So we will put the link for the tickets to the show notes, I think. Okay, as far as I found out during my researches is that you also are working in other Arab countries. You mentioned Saudi Arabia. It's a fast-growing market there. Do you think if you come with a startup, it's maybe better to straight away go to Saudi instead of Dubai?
That's a good question. Personally, no, I don't think so, especially if you're coming from outside. I think what's happening in Saudi Arabia is extremely interesting. So just to put it into perspective, the UAE is around, you know, 9 to 10 million people, of which 10% is local population, 90% is expat population. Saudi Arabia is about 35 million people, of which the majority is a local population. So it's a completely different space. Now, what that brings is opportunity, but also challenges if you don't understand or know the culture very well. I think the UAE is still a very good place to start from, to be able to also network with a lot of maybe other expats that are here that you know have been through something like you, to be able to also you know have a bit of an introduction to how things work in the region. And then Saudi Arabia is really a very good place for growth, but probably as test ground, the UAE is still a good place to really start instead of going directly into Saudi Arabia. Why do I say that? Not because it is, you know, such a, you know, difficult thing to go directly into Saudi Arabia. On the contrary, I think it's a very good place to be as well. But there is a much larger local population, and that makes, you know, understanding how things work locally just a bit trickier. You do need to probably, you know, have a Saudi partner or have somebody that supports you internally as a local company or as a Saudi partner to be able to grow there easier, I would say. It's not impossible without that, but it helps a lot. Here, I think you're more able to do it on your own.
Okay. So you mentioned first step to get a quick overview is to join the event in February. Let's say I'm coming, I love it, I want to start. So how should I proceed as a foreign entrepreneur coming to Dubai and want to start a startup here? What would you recommend to such a person?
I think from a logistical perspective, it is extremely easy to set up, right? So I wouldn't worry about that. You know, you might not know where to start, and it might sound like it might be difficult. It's a different country, different region, but it's not complicated. You know, I think you guys have been here, you know, and you've seen how it is. Maybe your expectations were different. How many times have you been to the UAE? Many times?
I think 30 to 40 times already, and since a couple of years.
So I think you know how it works. But what I've seen is a lot of people that when they don't know, you know, they believe it might be much more challenging or difficult. So from an ease of business, from, you know, setting up your company to finding out what to do, that's very simple. I think more importantly is to really understand why you want to be here and, you know, try to really have a clear plan of the objective of your startup here. Does your startup, your idea, or what you want to do fit, you know, into the UAE? And I'm talking here, I'm not talking culturally, I'm talking from market trends, growth, you know, can it really be a place where your product or your idea can bring value here and be, you know, scale in the region. And if that's what you feel, then I think it's easy to set up and to try. It's not very expensive from a business perspective. From a Maybe living here is not as cheap, especially if you're coming, you know, just without having like a, you know, rented a house. If you just want to stay at hotels and whatnot, it can be more expensive. So maybe a good way, like you said, you know, in the scenario, you come to Step, you love it. Of course, you're gonna love it, and then you know, after that, you're like, I wanna see more, and I wanna maybe open up and have a footing here. Is probably to set up an entity and start flying in regularly, meeting with clients, meeting with potential clients or whoever you work with, obviously depending on your startup and how it works. But even if you have a digital startup, you know, you could be running a lot of it remotely while coming in a few times until you feel that, you know, you want to be established here, then it's easy to move. But to kind of start, it's not that difficult.
So basically, you would recommend to travel forth and back at the beginning and not just jump into and get one of the ridiculous high rental flats. Okay, thank you for that. There is one thing which concerned me a little bit the last couple of weeks. I've heard from a few founders that there is no reliability. For example, when it comes to an investment commitment, and they say after a couple of months, the family offices or anybody else tells sometimes, yeah, what contract or whatever happens and the money is not there. How you see that problem?
I'm not sure about reliability. I wouldn't agree that there's a problem of reliability. However, I think, so a few things to know. It takes time here to raise investment. So it's not abnormal. Here we say usually raising money is a 6 to 9 month process, okay, which is for a round, for any given round. So that's obviously not you know, a very short process. The reason for that is, I think, what we discussed earlier. It's a bit of, you know, familiarity with investing into startups. You can go to the more typical VCs that are more established, like Beko Capital, Wamda, MEVP, or others. That know the process is much more standardized. It's easy, you know, you apply, and they tell you yes or no within a few weeks. But even with them, sometimes it can take longer. But in general, yes, there's a long sort of turnaround for investment conversations. So you have to be careful about wasting time, right? What you'll find, maybe to what you've heard, I don't know what kind of experience, I'm sure some people might have had bad experiences, but I would say in general, there isn't a problem of, you know, people committing and not paying, or you know, especially if they commit in writing, that's usually quite safe here, especially when it comes to fraud or anything. I think that's not something you should worry about. I would say, you know, I've lived in a lot of countries, I've seen a lot of things, and the UAE is extremely safe when it comes to that. What you do have to be careful about is that maybe from a culture perspective, maybe from a business culture perspective, people here sometimes are less direct than in Europe, right? In Europe, you might talk to somebody and tell you, okay, you know, great idea, good job, I'm not interested, bye, you know? And sometimes that's great because I don't want to waste my time talking to you if you're not going to. But here you will find that this is done a bit differently. So you might have people that will entertain you more and make you believe that they're interested, but ultimately, not because they're doing it on purpose, but because they're not sure if they're interested. Some people are looking at startups because it's trendy or cool and they have money and they hear everybody being in startups. And so they want to talk to startups, but they don't really know how to invest. So you'll have a lot of these different trends that affect that. But ultimately, yes, be careful about, you know, wasting too much time talking to people that tell you they want to invest or help. That's very difficult, obviously, to, you know, to tell. But the advice I would give is really, you know, try to be very structured, do good background check on who you're talking to, and try to talk to people. This brings us back, you know, you need to network and know people and understand the ecosystem to really avoid these kind of things. Because if you don't know, you might sit and talk to somebody for like 6 months thinking they're going to invest and, you know, help you set up here, and then that goes to waste. So you have to be very careful. We know entrepreneurs entrepreneurs, their time is very valuable. They want to move fast. And so being aware of the, of how it works here, I think helps a lot not to get stuck in these kind of traps.
So in all of those years with STEP, what was the greatest experience you had and what was the biggest challenge?
Good question. Okay. The biggest challenge, which is something maybe we didn't talk about, but very brief background. After we grew the conference and the startup platform aspect of STEP, we also opened a media digital content part. So we had a platform called StepFeed, which we still have, but has now pivoted more into a newsletter model. But it was a full-blown, you know, digital content editorial video platform. And we had the English version, which is called StepFeed.com, the Arabic version, which is called YallaFeed.com, and one of our objectives in STEP was to scale digital content, which was not only tech-related, by the way. It was more, you know, lifestyle, business, entertainment. You know, think of, I don't know, Huffington Post, BuzzFeed model for the region. The biggest challenge was really to monetize that. And it's something that we tried very hard, but the cost of creating content, as a lot of you might know, it's not cheap to create good content. And I think I say it was the biggest challenge because regardless of how well we did in certain things and probably a lot of mistakes we did as well, ultimately it's a bit of, you know, I think it'll always remain a bit of a disappointment because I think we did very well in creating content and we had a lot of following and we had a lot of people interested. But then turning that into a commercially viable model was very challenging. And that has to do with, you know, how media budgets are distributed here in the region, how much, you know, how democratized it is. And then especially, I think, also something that even global digital platforms are suffering from is the sort of hegemony of Google and Facebook, you know, to sweep all advertising money from under our noses. And so I think that that was one of the biggest challenges. Partly, it is a regional challenge. Secondly, I think it's a global challenge of, you know, a lot of content creators to really monetize their content in a way where data, information, content in general has become so cheap and you can get it for free because of, you know, how certain models work. The second question was the most exciting thing. Most exciting thing, I don't know if I can point to one part, but I think that especially at the beginning, we used to really, you know, go down with our own, you know, hands and build the event before we really started growing the company. And it's always been every year when we do STEP, especially when it became larger, after, you know, a couple of weeks of hard work, everybody on the ground talking to everyone and trying to get big speakers to come and talk at the event, is that moment when we open the event and, you know, it's a big stage with 500 people and we have like a big speaker on the stage and everybody is really engaged and excited, and that feeling has always been extremely rewarding. And I'll give an example maybe to point like one detail. I remember the day a week after Sue.com got acquired by Amazon, we happened to have the STEP conference coming up, and we had on stage the founder of Sue.com, Ronaldo Moshahwar, and Fadi Ghandour, who is one of the, you know, most important figures in entrepreneurship here in the region. He's the founder of Aramex and of Wamda. And he's the guy that supported Sue from the real beginning. And they were on stage talking about the journey of Sue, you know, and how it started from nothing and then how it had just been sold for, you know, over $800 million to Amazon. It was such an exciting thing for the region. And I remember the stage was overflowing with people that couldn't even stand just to listen to the story. And For some reason, I think that moment is something I remember because it was a very important moment for the ecosystem in general. And I was so happy that at STEP, at our event, it was something that, you know, everybody was really listening for the first time. The founder of this was talking about it in front of everybody. It was a really exciting moment.
And that sounds very great. So you already sold me a ticket. I will be back for sure. And if some of our members are interested to join me at this week, just drop a message to the office and we grab a plane and come here. Sounds very interesting.
If I may say something, we'll be happy to extend a discount code to you that you can send to the community for the STEP conference tickets. It'd be a pleasure for people to fly all the way to Dubai to come to STEP conference. So I'll be happy to send you promo codes for discounts.
Perfect. I will do the advertisement. So, Nizar, is there a question I didn't ask that you would like to answer?
Not really, no. I think you asked a lot of good questions. What I would want to say is that, knowing a lot about how people think in Europe, I know there's a lot of intellectual curiosity from especially the European youth into the Middle East. And I would say that there are perceptions that are sometimes are right or wrong, like as normal, I think, to any culture or region that we don't know very well. I would really say, there is a lot of interesting things happening in the region. I would invite people to come and check it out. I don't think it's for everybody. This is not like the California gold rush where everybody needs to come here and just get investment money. I think sometimes there's that perception. It's not that at all, but I know a lot of friends from Europe, from the States, even from East Asia, that have come here and have been very pleasantly surprised about the kind of opportunities that exist, both from a lifestyle perspective and also from a business opportunity perspective. I think what's interesting is that things work really fast here. The growth is, the numbers when it comes to growth in the UAE, in Saudi Arabia, in the digital sector, in the startup sector, both from an investment perspective and from a market potential, are extremely interesting if they are within, what you're good at and if you can make it happen. But there is something very cool going on here. Come and check it out because you might not really have the right idea, which is, again, normal, but I think, at least a trip, Rene, you've been here 30, 40 times, maybe, come at least for one or two trips and see what's happening. And I think a lot of people will find that it's actually a place they might be interested in setting up or, starting something.
So now we are at almost the end of the interview. Do you have one advice for a guy who wants to start up his own business and is thinking about to come to Dubai in terms of mindset or to motivate him for the end of the interview?
One advice for somebody starting their own business. I get asked that question a lot. I think it's very difficult to give like one advice. I think really, to start your own business, first I would say, I don't know if the audience are all people that already have started their business or some of them are thinking about starting a business. So I think, you really need to understand what you're getting yourself into when you're starting your own business. There is a lot of, romanticization of this idea, and it is an extremely exciting journey, but it's also not for everybody. So I would advise some people before they start to go and maybe intern at a startup, work with a few entrepreneurs, maybe get a couple of jobs to understand how messy it can be. But if you do have an idea and if you're driven, focus on how to build a team. I think what I've learned is that this is something that really, whatever you're doing, obviously you need to do your due diligence with your product, market fit, your business model, whatever that is, right? If you're selling something that doesn't work, it's not going to work. But assuming you are, really try to build a good team, because both from a journey perspective, whether you succeed or fail, when you do it together with a team and you build bonds and you build an environment and a culture where everybody's working towards something, even if you fail, it's a great experience. And also really success is very related to how teams are built. And I've always given a lot of focus to that. And I think, you know, think of having a good partner you work with. Doing it alone is very difficult. And really try to build a great culture. I know this word is sometimes, you know, overused. I'm not talking about like Google culture. I'm talking just, you know, a great relationship and team dynamics and excitement. And once you have that, which is ultimately what it is, right? A group of people working together and making things happen. This is what the entrepreneurship journey is at the beginning. Then it becomes more complicated, but by then you'll be more experienced and you won't need advice from me.
Okay, Nizar, final word. Thank you for your time. We appreciate that. And also to our members, that was another session of listening from Junge Wirtschaft, straight away from Dubai. And hope you enjoyed it, the first English version. And thank you, Nizar, for coming.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on your podcast. And hopefully, you know, we meet some of the people who are listening at STEP in February. Thank you so much.